From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, July 5th, 2011. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, we share our favorite findings in ESRI's pre-user conference question and answer document and preview the big questions that we'll be taking to San Diego next week. But first, a word from our sponsor.
MapInfo Professional version 11.0 is now available. Visit www.pbinsight.com to download the 30-day trial, which includes enhancements such as a redesigned browser window for better data analysis, the ability to perform memory-intensive operations through enhanced support of 64-bit operating environments, as well as premium services for instant access to worldwide road-level tile data.
Now, Joe, ESRI released its Q&A document, as it does before every user conference. It released it on Thursday of last week, and you and I had some time to pore over it and pull out sort of what we think the big ideas are and key new announcements and questions. Let's start off with sort of a general sense of the document. What did you sort of take away?
The document was good and comprehensive in some ways and disappointing in another. They're providing some decent information on some of the big questions on cloud, on data sharing and those types of programs. But my disappointment was in that a lot of the questions seemed to have a lot more marketing spin than I would have hoped. I thought some of the answers seemed to be taken right from product brochures. You got to hand it to them from the fact that, yes, it's a very comprehensive document. I think my criticism of it is that some answers were just too marketing-oriented.
I felt the exact same way, and this document has existed for many, many years. I remember when I worked at ESRI, printing it out and taking it with me to read on the plane out to California, and it always felt like an insider document, and I really liked that, and I liked the idea that they were sharing this insider document not only with the staff but also with the users, and this one just didn't feel that way.
You had to really get into it to tease out what some of the important information was that you wanted to get, but that was difficult. You really had to read between the lines in some instances.
Let's get started with what we did find once we went through that document. And I want to start off with one observation, that the answer to every question seems to be ArcGIS Online. I'm sort of saying that a little bit flippantly, but it sure felt like whatever the problem is, that's where you start.
Perhaps that's their intent. If you had to look down the road, they are trying to position this as a single comprehensive system. The name change that they went through is trying to be consistent with that. So that's what you take away, is the answer to everything is ArcGIS Online, and maybe that's what they want you to think.
There certainly wasn't a lot of focus on the desktop. In fact, there was sort of a question about, is there a future for the desktop, or is it all going to be server? And while there was an answer to that, it had a little bit of spin to it that made you think, no, in fact, the answer to everything is somewhere online. It starts with ArcGIS Online.
The first thing I'm going to talk about is kind of the big category of cloud. And as we just discussed, the answer seems to be ArcGIS Online. But more specifically, and I want to quote here, they say, Esri is releasing a major new version of ArcGIS Online soon, transforming it into a complete cloud-based system for hosting, serving, and mapping geospatial data. So if the answer to everything is ArcGIS Online, then the answer to their cloud is likewise. Frankly, I think they probably need to say that some of their solutions are going to compete specifically with this other solution. I think there's enough confusion in the market, somewhat brought on by Google Earth Builder, that people are going to ask this question repeatedly. Is this the answer to Google Earth Builder, or is this the answer to somebody else's cloud solution, whether it's a big company or a little company? And I hope they're more explicit about that, because I seem to get into the high-level stuff. It was too much here for me, that I didn't get enough information about their cloud solution.
Right, and I think that there is sort of the current cloud solution, and then there's sort of the evolving cloud solution, And I had that same feeling. I'm not really sure. And let me do a little quoting to see if maybe you can help me distinguish the situation. So here's the current state of ArcGIS Online. Quote, ArcGIS Online is a cloud-based system for creating and sharing maps and geographic information. And here's the future. ESRI is releasing a major new version of ArcGIS Online soon, transforming it into a complete cloud-based system for hosting, serving, and mapping geospatial data.
Right.
Okay, so that, right. There's some subtle difference in there. In the second one, you've got hosting and serving and mapping as opposed to maps. So that is the creation of the maps as opposed to just sharing the maps that may have been created elsewhere.
Right, and I want to say this, that in general, though, ESRI seems to be putting a great deal of emphasis on their on-premise private cloud services. I think they did get very specific here. So they say that, by example, with support for VMware virtualization technologies, ESRI has successfully tested ArcGIS Server on the VCE vBlock platform, which is a private cloud infrastructure. And what this is telling me, and they go on to say things that they're doing work with Amazon EC2 and Microsoft Azure, but what it tells me is that while their customers want to hear about moving to a complete SaaS environment, they are nowhere near ready to do it. Hence, in a stepwise progression, ESRI is articulating a pathway to complete a cloud deployment. So first they're going to talk about on-premise Arc Server. Then they're going to move to a private cloud, and I think what they've said is Arc Server on Amazon EC2, which may be more or less a hybrid or private environment. And then finally, perhaps a case where ESRI completely hosts all of their software and data. Now, I'm reading something into that, but that I think is the pathway they're articulating.
And that it would be wonderful to get that, to see that picture laid out, because yes, I think there's some definite sort of fuzziness. And here's the other fuzziness. So I just distinguish between the current state of ArcGIS Online and the coming soon version of ArcGIS Online. And then you can contrast that with ArcGIS Server. And let me quote, "The ArcGIS Server role is focused on making the authoritative information developed by GIS professionals widely available." And I'm not exactly sure how that's different from ArcGIS Online.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of its goal.
Right. Right.
In the same way that maybe at one time there was confusion among all of the different desktop products, now we're sort of moving to a similar kind of confusion, but in the server cloud hosted space.
Yeah, and we have to remember, and I know we're talking a lot about cloud, but I think it's important to get into that because they have to give some answer for the IT department, right? They really need to say that here is the environment that you want to configure. And it's not the most sexy thing to talk about as servers these days because you really want to get to the application. But this has to be a prominent point of discussion for people because it is important to deploy in an enterprise setting. And they do say that they're using Amazon machine images, the AMIs, and it's configured for ArcGIS Server. And then they also talk about ESRI Managed Services, which I assume is going to be maybe standing up an entire server farm that you want to manage everything through ESRI. Again, that's not clear, but again, I think they're trying to lay out what the future holds for their users.
And I have to say, as somebody not as familiar with virtualization and implementations of the cloud that you just described, I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of people sitting in that big room at the plenary who this just is too far away from their day-to-day lives, and they've got a lot of educating to be had to make sense of what this all means for their organization and to them as end users of software.
Well, and the end users have got to articulate to their bosses what this is because they're the only guys that are using the solutions now, and they're going to have to justify what the future of their implementations are.
Right. So I'm looking forward to yet another course of study in the cloud and virtualization as we head to San Diego next week.
next thing I want to talk about is data and content. That was a big chunk within the Q&A. And the strategy for data seems to me somewhat disjointed. Certainly, data is available from three sources, at least. That's what I could tease out. You have ArcGIS Online. You have ArcGIS Data Appliance, which is a combination of data and hardware. And now a more or less somewhat outdated strategy, but still used by a lot of people, which is Esri Maps and Data, which is provided on basic and standard DVDs. There's also Image Services and the World Imagery Map. Certainly, there's a Community Maps program. It's a big deal. There's a lot of interest in that. We've talked about it a lot on podcasts, and we've had webinars from them on it. So there are lots of services for getting data. The new Change Matters web service that also we've talked about. There's a lot here, but it's hard to piece it all together. If I wanted to buy data, I'm not sure where I would go. There's a lot of information here. It just seems a little disjointed.
Right, and there's sort of no central data portal to access all of this different stuff, some of which comes with your products, some of which is free, some of which is paid. That's a really good point. It's hard to navigate through all those different offerings.
Yeah, it needs a more comprehensive strategy. If I'm a typical desktop user, I want to know where to go right away to find data that I need today. And I don't know whether I go over to the Community Maps program because, that's nice. It seems to be authoritative. Do I go buy a DVD? Need a little help here.
Right, and this is not just ESRI's issue. This is an NSDI issue and a GSDI issue and a searching the internet issue.
Data is really, really important these days, and it's becoming more important because there's so much of it. And you almost need a data guru to help you weave your way through the process. And you're right, it isn't just Esri's problem. It's a problem with USGS. It's a problem with a number of different organizations.
Now, the hot topic that exploded into social media when the Q&A appeared on Thursday was the new ArcGIS for home use licensing. People seem very excited about the fact that it's very low cost. And let me just quote from the website. ArcGIS for home use makes GIS available to everyone. This offer is ideal for existing ArcGIS users who want to use the same powerful software at home for non-commercial personal use and for individuals who want to expand their GIS skills. However, anyone can participate in this program. What it boils down to is for $100, anyone on the planet, $100 a year includes ArcGIS for home use, which is basically ArcView, and a whole bunch of extensions, 3D analyst and geostatistical analyst and network analyst and publisher and schematics and spatial analyst and tracking analyst. Everybody thinks that's terrific. I agree. Other companies have had home use for other kinds of products. Bentley has had it. What's always interesting about these kind of offerings is the licensing, the exact licensing. And I think it's really interesting that ESRI is making this available non-commercial personal use. So you can do sort of your community service with this ArcView on your home machine, which is great. So if you want to, this is my classic example. If you want to locate for your town all of the Little League baseball fields and put the map up, you can do it at home, which is terrific. Now, the real question is, why is ESRI doing this? And the answer is, I think there's a couple reasons. One has to do with the fact that right now, if you want to teach yourself GIS, you're most likely to go download some open source software like QGIS and start teaching yourself. And I think ESRI wants to get into that sort of space. And it's not exactly the same because you have to hand over $100 and you have to sign up so they know who you are, in part, I'm sure, so they can continue to have a relationship with you. The open source community, you download it, they don't know who you are, they don't care. So that's, I think, important. I think it's also a push to maintain interest in and growth of the desktop platform. And the one thing I will request of ESRI is that they make the licensing, the exact licensing document for the ArcGIS for home use software available publicly on the web.
It seems to be a good hedge to continue, like you say, the desktop environment, and I think people would get a lot of benefit out of it. I don't begrudge them the $100. I think that's you know, you have to have some skin in the game to really want to continue it. And I just think that that's a good way to show that. I hope it succeeds. It sounds like a decent program to me.
Right, and I suspect that it may be a great solution for some kinds of formal and informal education. That's the license that you use.
Yeah, I think it does.
So exactly where the overlap is, and again, it depends a lot on exactly what the license says.
Right.
So yeah, I don't begrudge them the $100. I think it sort of costs that much to manage this kind of a program.
Yeah.
And to maintain the data, and again, to take full advantage of the people who are, in a sense, thinking that they're taking full advantage of the software.
The next thing I want to talk about is spatial and network analysis. That was another big chunk in the Q&A. This is really where ESRI shines, so it was interesting to see how they framed their advancements in this area. And to me, it was almost an apologetic response, as if we know that spatial analysis is not everyone's cup of tea. In fact, their share analysis program to publish analyses as a web service is kind of like saying, hey, this is pretty heavy stuff, and if you don't really have enough time to understand spatial models or spatial statistics, we've got a program for you. So it's not a bad idea, but I think the way they phrased it was kind of funny. And what they do say, and I'll quote here, by allowing GIS analysts to publish their spatial analysis and workflow as a web service, it takes the complexity of spatial analysis completely away from the end users, therefore helps a much wider audience to gain benefits from GIS analysis functionalities and models. And as I said, I think this is a good idea. I think spatial analysis probably doesn't get enough attention. It's something I always loved. I think they need to push analysis because that is the growth progression from somebody who just uses this from visualization.
Okay, let's move on to another new idea that came up in a number of different questions, and this is the concept of an organizational account on ArcGIS Online. And let me quote, later this year, you can take advantage of organizational accounts, a new subscription from ArcGIS Online that allows you to have your own hosted environment for publishing content. Organizational accounts will include hosting of map services without the need for servers, infrastructure, or the associated costs. Basically, it's cloud-hosted web service publishing for a fee, which, as I read it, sounded exactly akin to what we were discussing last week, Google Earth Builder.
Mm. Yeah.
And I have to say, I fully expected ESRI to offer something like that, exactly what it was called or how it was to be implemented. I wasn't sure about, but apparently it's implemented through the answer to everything, ArcGIS Online. I can't fathom why it's called organizational accounts. And maybe that's a placeholder. But I think that sort of adds yet another option into the mix, and one, as we suggested last week, that may be very popular.
And it's likely to be. I think people are looking for a solution like that, and they're going to have to come up with an answer for Google Earth Builder. And I actually think they've got to articulate it a lot more. I think they're going to have to draw the direct analogy. This is just like Google Earth Builder, and it's just because of the stir that Builder has created in the community already.
Do you expect them to do that?
No, but
okay. I don't either.
I guess, you know.
So maybe we're doing it. You know, part of our job maybe is to do that on their behalf. And
yeah.
We will, of course, learn more about exactly what this is. Maybe get a sense of the pricing. Remember, Google hasn't announced any pricing for their offering either. Okay, do you have one more to wrap up?
Yeah, the only thing I want to mention finally is the image and raster section. I found this section to be a little light on details. Not a great deal of mention on their primary raster image partner, which is ITT Viz at this point. They discussed a lot of the features and functions for raster analysis. They talked a little bit about what's in ArcGIS 10 and 10.1. I found the answer to what new image processing capabilities are to be added to ArcGIS to be a little bit vague. At a time when people are really searching for answers, some of the specifics would have been appreciated.
All right, well, that's our recap of what we found in the ESRI pre-user conference Q&A, and we'll be taking the questions that we've posed to San Diego, and we hope this has given our listeners some insight into the document, either before they read it, after they read it, or if they don't get the chance to read this very long and detailed document. That's all the time we have. Before we go, our sponsor Pitney Bowes Business Insights would like to remind you that MapInfo Professional version 11.0 is now available. The product includes a redesigned browser window for better data analysis and the ability to perform memory-intensive operations. Visit www.pbinsight.com to download the 30-day trial version. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com, or you can leave a comment at Directions Magazine, where this podcast is hosted.
You can follow all of our coverage from the Esri UC on All Points blog and on Twitter at Directions Mag. We hope to see many of you there, and we'll have some special things going on. Watch for our announcements on Twitter and APB.
Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.